up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Heather and Douglas Bonaparte. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into talking about doing money together as a couple, everything that goes into that, all the different pitfalls, the common mistakes, the big opportunities. And long story short, there are a lot of all of those things. And Heather and Doug did such a good job of sharing their personal story, which really helped to relate a lot of the themes of the book and just give evidence to how challenging this work is to do and the value of having somebody walk you through the process in a very empathetic, a very vulnerable, and very practical and pragmatic way. So I really, really enjoyed the conversation, really enjoyed getting to know Heather and Doug. And of course, we closed with not one, but two awesome difference-making tips. I'm sure that you're going to love it as well. Let's go. Heather and Douglas, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
All right. In no specific order here. We met as freshmen in college.
Our favorite genre of music is EDM music.
One of us has a tattoo.
Okay. Okay, because I was not in college with you, I do not know which one is true or which is not. EDM. Why not? One of you has a tattoo. That could mean that the other one has 50 tattoos. I don't know. So these are solid. I'm going to guess that you did not meet your freshman year in college.
That is
incorrect.
True. Oh. That is true. We met as freshmen in college. We do.
You want to take another guess?
Yeah. Call it 50-50 now.
Yeah. Tattoo one is the lie.
It's the lie.
No tattoos.
None.
They're cool. For all the people that are tatted up. But we just don't have any.
And you love EDM.
We do.
Yeah.
We love going to a good show.
Good shows.
Still.
Okay. And what's the protocol for these shows? Do you take a lot of drugs first? Or do you go sober? Do you take the drugs at the show?
Define drug.
We like to have fun.
That's a great point. There's a lot of things that
we like. The shows that start at 7 p.m. and end at
8. This is actually very funny. No, this is actually very
funny. Yeah, there's a reason.
Now I just turned 40. Doug's 41. Oof. We've been listening to this type of music for a long time, but like, we're getting older. You know, I can't go to a show that starts at 2.
Yeah, the headliner coming out at 2 a.m. going to 4 or 5 a.m. is tough.
We live in the New York City area. And there's a pier here that in the summer does this summer stage.
Concert series,
shows
yeah.
have to start at 8 p.m. And they have to end due to the noise ordinance at 10:30. And they've started bringing in DJs. I'm like, this is like the elder millennial concert series. This was meant
perfect.
For us.
Early
like,
dinner.
We go to dinner at 5 o'clock.
You know,
we get to rave.
It's not like a watered down set or anything. It's a full, it's hard.
Before 10 p.m.
And then they're done, like 10:30.
Older millennial concerts.
You're out. You can grab another drink, but like you could
or
get
you could be in bed by 11 p.m.
Yeah, or bed by midnight. And it's just, what's going on? You know, wow, what a geriatric millennial dream that is.
What a time to be alive for sure. My wife dragged me, invited me to a rave dance thing that started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think it was the name of the whole thing was In Bed by 10.
I don't mind a darty. I don't mind a good darty.
They have ones that start at like 7 a.m. and you're like, yeah, breakfast. And you go like.
But his problem is he's not a morning person either. Like, I'm a morning person. I like to get up 5:30, 6. I'm like, my eyes open up.
Yeah.
Ready to go. This guy, no.
Sociopath behavior here.
What time is more comfortable for you, Douglas?
if there were no kids?
Whenever a kid comes in the room, so like wake up. If I don't get up at an earlier hour, they're there's someone scrambling in before 7 o'clock, like 6:48, 7 o'clock. So if I'm waking up at like 8:30 or 9, I pretty much assume I died in my sleep and it's the afterlife. So I'd be like, oh my God, what happened? If I was left to my own devices, I don't even know if my body, like in college, I could sleep all day, truly. I don't know if my body could even do that or get much further than 9 o'clock. So if I'm sleeping till 9 a.m., wow. What luck.
That is a privilege right there for sure.
The
Sure
biggest.
Yeah. Perspective is very valuable and difficult to get, but that's certainly sleep as an older person, which I certainly am, is a valuable thing. So what
is.
time do the kids usually get up and who lets them out of their who lets them out of their room? 'Cause
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is the hour. Our older one is, she's literally me.
Yeah, she'll walk
Everything
up.
about her, so, like, she's me. Everything about her is me, down to her sleeping patterns and like fighting sleep and like just waking up like that's
Thirst for
her.
life.
She's a thirst for life. And then our younger one, and she looks just like me, spitting image. And
Yeah,
then
we
our
both got
younger
a
one
twin.
looks just like Doug, acts just like Doug, and like
Cool.
she's a little like sleeposaurus. And she could
Yeah.
sometimes like just, you know, you gotta wake her up
She'll
sometimes.
snooze it.
She wakes up happy. She's like the sweetest little like whatever. And the older one's like firecracker. She's like
Yeah.
me. She's like you never know which way the wind's blowing. Like the wind could hit her the wrong way and she's angry.
Ruby's like an
It's just like me.
episode of Bluey, the younger
The
one.
younger one is literally like straight out of
She's
Bluey.
like booping around doing funny stuff.
Well, that is awesome right there. It's cool to have representations of yourself in mini form. So
Yeah. I think
yeah,
so.
I think that's kind of like my kids. Anyway, we don't need to get into that right now, though. So, well, I'm excited to dig into everything with y'all. What is top of mind for the Bone Parts right now?
Oh, wrapping up this year that has been just one of the busiest ones on record. Heather joined the firm 3 years ago, and we've spent two of those, the last two, writing a book together, our second book together. So we're still married at the end of this process, which is huge for family stability, good for the kids. But it's been a crazy year, both at the firm. You know, we changed custodians and made some big moves, which was awesome, but you don't want to do that too many times in your career because it's an absolute massive undertaking.
It's also not something we would have planned for the
Yeah,
year that
the
we're
timing wasn't great.
launching a book. It's a lot already going on, and then we
So it's been a
move the
marathon. It's been
firm.
a big old marathon here where
It's been a
we're
year.
putting on a brave face into the holidays and scrambling for a little morsel of R&R if we can get
But the
it.
theme of the year is our book. That
Yeah,
is
for sure.
the highlight reel of the year. If this was a Spotify Wrapped of our year, the most important thing would be our book, Money Together, that came out on October 28th. It has taken over my whole personality and a little bit of Doug's. So it's
Absolutely. We really think it has a lot of legs and the ability to hopefully bring, greater fairness and love and meaning to a lot of people's relationships. And I personally, I know
That's
Heather's.
a relationship with money.
Yeah. We're really excited to see what 2026 will bring.
So, Heather, you said it's taken up most of you and some of Doug. How does that make you feel that is he not fully invested in this project? Is he doing other stuff?
No, but this was always meant to be me taking the lead on this project. I mean, that's when you work on a team, different people take different projects, as the lead and run with them. And I'm a writer. I was a journalism major in college. I'm a recovering corporate lawyer. I spent more than a decade in corporate law. I know how to speak to people. I know how to ask questions to people, and I know how to support what I want to say with the answers to those questions. And so, this is my work, in the same way that Doug is a CFP, he's a financial advisor, and that is his work. So when it comes to the firm and the ways that I support the firm, they're not as heavy of a lift as what he has to do on the day-to-day for Bonafide Wealth, whereas the business affairs of the firm and our other thought leadership is my that's my job. So I think it was always kind of meant to be this way.
I also think it depends on what phase of a, you take a look at long-term projects, and we're in the business of personal finance, it's always long games that we're playing. And I think when you're building businesses too, you're playing long games here. So in the phases of building and getting foundations in place, I mean, we have now entered the part of this project where we integrate, right, the contents of this book into the practice. And that excites me tremendously, right? When you have an artist doing their art form, I mean, I'm here to support, verify the information that it's accurate and makes sense from a professional's point of view. But you got talent in writing over here. So now we're at this part where we get to integrate what we do and what we've done respectively over the last couple of years into this homogeneous structure that is not just our firm, but our message and our lives.
Well, that is, I think it's awesome, super cool, and not easy
No.
for.
It's
Or...
not easy. It
So.
has not been easy. And you know, it's really hard, one, to practice what you preach all the time. It's a hard thing to do. Two, it's hard to like know the things you shouldn't do and still not do them, especially when it comes to writing a book and when a book goes out in the world. Like there's things you should care about, things you shouldn't care about, things you would be better for your mental health not to care about. But you do them anyway. Like it's, you know, so it's one thing to you gotta practice what you preach and then also just like keep focused on what really matters. You know, it's hard.
For sure. And I just be honest, I didn't realize that you had merged, that you had come to work with the firm, Heather. And so in a lot of ways, you are not only getting married and combining your finances, but now you're combining your business and you're writing this book that is helping people integrate their own money history, money experience, money know-how with somebody else's. And it's hard for an individual to do those things, let alone merge them together.
That's right. I mean, and that's, you know, one of the reasons that we wrote the book was because we had seen in our own lives the pain points where and the struggles that we experienced and couldn't articulate and didn't have the words for and didn't address head on when the power dynamic shifted in our relationships, when the external stressors of life found us and how that caused certain things to change in our relationship and in our family and with our money. And so, you know, we figured like, man, if a financial professional of nearly 20 years and a corporate lawyer who was not never at a loss for words can't figure out how to do this, what's everybody else going to do? What's everybody else doing? Like, we got to start talking to people and seeing what the real issues are going on behind the little fights that people like. It's never really about the spending. It's never really about the budget or the misbuild. There's always something else going on. And we wanted to dig deeper into what those things were. And so that's what really got us here.
It tapped the work that we did found us tapping so deeply into people's identities. It is messy. It is, of course, difficult. It is extremely emotional. And these are all the things shifting around underneath the surface of people and what they're just doing on a daily basis, like spending, saving, budgeting, investing. As professionals, we talk about this stuff all day. But if we're talking about the tectonic plates that move in people's lives, it was these things that hardly get enough airtime, attention. And when you do give them attention and you do start to ask the right questions and do that kind of work, the results are amazing. It's just quite a lot to wrestle with. And any amount of equipping people or advisors or whoever is interested in improving their relationship together and around money, you're going to benefit. And that was, I think, the most rewarding part, and is the most rewarding part about putting that kind of thought leadership and content into the world.
One of my favorite quotes is, "There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root." And that's essentially what you just described. It's of value, and it's interesting to talk about budgeting and asset allocation, all that kind of stuff. But the real work is below the surface, and the resentment and the feelings of lack of fairness and all these different things that we're grappling with. So, I mean, it's not easy. You don't want to boil the ocean. How do you actually consolidate and boil it down to a book form that can actually be consumed?
Well, We felt one, I wanted us to write a book that I would actually read. And to me, I think I really like the idea of short, digestible chapters that fall under the umbrella of concepts and themes, because you really like a lot of this work is self-work and it's work that requires reflection. And you should be able to do that in bite-sized pieces. The book's 30 short chapters of that are basically the length of an essay you'd find online somewhere. And that was by design. And we wanted it to be them to be isolated enough snapshots and eras and issues and dynamics that if one really, really resonates with you, you'd be able to say, hey, to your partner, hey,
Read this.
get in here, throw the book at them, say, open up to chapter 18. It'll take you 5 minutes. Read this one thing. Instead of a situation where, you can pick up a book that's got five like hefty sections and you're like, read the whole first one and it's 70 pages.
Or you just, you
Like
gotta read this book.
the point of this book is to open up doors that haven't been open. And so you want to kind of make that as simple as possible for people and just create like the most frictionless way to do that. And to us, that was by really keeping these things bite-sized, these issues bite-sized. And then by putting them all under these five themes, you open up an opportunity to say, well, in reading all these little things about risk, I actually really did learn a lot about risk just now. And now there's these questions at the end of each of the five sections. There's a handful of questions
Yeah.
that you can use as prompts with your partner and sit down and talk with them, or you can ask yourself and then say, when you've got time, will you take a look at them too?
Yeah.
And maybe sometime when we're both ready, we can talk about them. And that's kind of what it's meant to do. So I we did consider the format very thoughtfully.
I think that makes a ton of sense. So much of money is not accessible. It's uncomfortable. We have all of our hangups and all of our personal issues with it. And then bringing two people together is and can be pretty tricky. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate that it's digestible and that there's questions for people to consider and almost like a workbook. So I think that that's awesome. Of the five themes or just the book itself, do you have a favorite part?
I know you have a favorite.
Of course.
I like beginnings. I like the whole front end because as someone who's gone on their own mental health journey, over the last couple of years, big believer in keeping not only your body healthy, but your mind healthy too. Just having a space to get it out, is extremely important to me. And this entire first section of the book is the self-work that you need to be doing in order to, step up to the plate and start doing the joint work that clearly is, what this book is about. So strong foundations are very appealing to me. Even as a financial advisor, when we build strong foundations for clients and they become, immovable when, the wind shifts or things, get rocky or wild. I love bearing witness to the work that you did, and why you did that work. So you are resilient. And that's why I like the whole first part. And yeah, it's very revealing. It should help you answer questions as to
Yourself,
why you
right?
feel the way that you do. Why did you re react to, why did you get crazy when your wife said that? Wasn't what she said. Maybe it was something your mom or dad said to you 20 years ago that to this day rocked your foundation and you didn't fix that. And just knowing that, having that perspective, the next time you're having that little thing with your partner, you say, hey, that's not what she said. Take that. You create that little bit of space that makes all the difference in the world when it comes to communicating with your partner.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that first part, because this is where you give yourself the opportunity to actually figure yourself out.
It's
You got to
true.
do the work, right?
Got it.
Yeah.
No shortcuts on that one.
It's the
No.
hardest work. It's the
Yeah.
work on yourself. It's
What
true.
do you like? I
Yeah,
know.
Heather.
Today, what do you like today?
No, I mean, I in terms of the work that I think is the most important in the book, I think the third section about contributions is the most important. I think reframing our notion of what it means to contribute or provide for your household is really important to creating more equity between couples, and it creates better outcomes for women in particular out in the world. But if you were to ask me Personally, this chapter, the section on power and the first chapter in that section called Artine Rebellions, chapter 20, is really, it's really important. It's the little bit of tough love that I felt like was really important in this book, because I didn't want it to feel like, I mean, look, one of my primary goal of this book is for couples to find equity and fairness through money in their relationship. Because I think like a lot of power dynamics don't afford enough opportunities for women to maintain their agency in their relationship and advocate for their needs. But I still wanted to be sure that everyone knows that it's an individual responsibility that you both hold to know about your money, to know what you want in this world, and to hold the line and advocate for that, and to make that a priority for you, because you like it is not, you know, you could point the finger at, and this goes both ways. It's not a male female thing. You can point the finger all you want. He should have done this. They should, you know, whatever. We all owe ourselves that obligation, right? We owe ourselves that responsibility. And so I think that that's an important part, not only of the chapter, but of the book and just in general in life and relationships of like, yes, he could have spoken. Like I just think that a healthy relationship is the sum of yours, mine, and ours. And so we both have to hold our individual responsibilities as well.
Well, that's beautifully and really well said,
Thanks.
and nothing that my wife and I have ever had a hard time with. So I don't think that we're going to benefit from reading that section.
That's what they all say, George.
Do they say that, or does everybody say, oh, yeah, I totally need help in that area?
You know what? Like, I don't know, one or the other. People are
Yeah, they
like,
either say, I need, yeah, no doubt, I need help here, and they're very self-effacing about it,
before I'm
or they
free to read
run,
this
or they
book.
run
Right.
as far away from it as humanly
Yeah.
possible because they know what's going to
They
happen.
know they're about to get rid. Yeah.
I can't imagine that there's too many relationships where people come in with the same amount of money and the same amount of income and the same amount of anything, and so
Oh.
therefore, to not delve into these and to pretend like there aren't issues, I think is absolute folly. But we need a guide into this because I don't know that I could figure this out without something like your book.
Yeah, you know, it's we don't realize how much our socioeconomic conditions is even from a young age, the privileges we're afforded. You know, I think that two things can be true. One, you can be privileged and that impacts the way that you view the world and the opportunities that you have in the world today. But also you have to have the empathy of realizing that everybody's story is their own. You could have grown up with a ton of, you know, more opportunities and privilege and financial resources than your partner, and not had the love that they had and the support that they had and the stability that they had in their household. So it's important to recognize, and that's why this is all so hard, because I think that oftentimes you find yourself, look, you look for like, I think people find themselves arguing because it's easiest to fight with the people you love the most about stuff. It's easiest to deflect on them. It's easiest to, when your expectations don't get met, to project your disappointment on your partner, things like that. So when it comes to talking about even like the way you were raised, it's really easy to like race to the bottom and be like, well, you would never understand. You had a silver spoon in your mouth. You grew up, you had a trust fund for college and blah, blah, blah. Look, you know,
It's such misplaced energy, right?
Misplaced energy.
Because this person here is the first person I should be going to say, you know what? When I was 8 years old, this happened. And I'm in the context of, money. And I gotta tell you, it really affects me today. And you go down this road with your partner. She'd be the first person you go to. And I think a lot of people rather play the game of who had it worse and the race to the bottom because it's so comfortable with the person that they have. The irony of choosing not to get uncomfortable with the one person you're most comfortable with is what makes a lot of this just so
We
difficult.
wanted people to see that there's lots of reasons why people are the way they are today. It's not just a scarcity thing, who had more money than who. There are a lot of dynamics that shape you and your money behaviors into what they are today. Like it's crazy when you think about our own. I grew up, I would say probably with more financial resources, not, or, you know, than you, wouldn't you say? I mean, like, probably. And but just, you know, and I'm also like an only child and whatever, and people say, oh, like,
They're
child, kind of
very
like.
inter very different dynamic.
But the point being that he grew up, I would say, in a more stable environment
For sure.
than I did. His, you know, my parents divorced when I was 13. I'm an only child and grandchild on both sides of my family. So maybe I got to go on vacations that Doug didn't get to go on, right,
Sure.
as a kid. But I experienced a lot and I went through a lot of struggle
Absolutely.
in my childhood and into my adult life that he did not. And so I, you know, it's neither was worse,
Yeah.
neither is better. They're just different.
It's all relative. There's one story in the book and one interview we did. A gentleman who grew up with immense privilege, and he was the first to tell us. He's like, "Yeah, we had a beautiful brownstone on Madison Avenue."
Like generational
Yeah,
wealth,
generational level stuff.
eight,
Got
nine figure.
yeah, we're talking extreme wealth. And he said, "You know what though? We really didn't feel that way because every kid I knew in school owned the whole block." Right. And yes, objectively, crazy amount of wealth. But here is someone objectively extremely wealthy feeling lesser than, you know, kids who, you know, own skies, whose parents own skyscrapers. And you can play that game on any point on the spectrum of wealth. And because of that, you have to pay particular attention to one another and understand one another, not play that race to the bottom game, and really start to put yourself in the shoes of your partner and understand that those are the reasons you're getting into,
Yes.
you know, a predicament in communicating around money. Not the fact that you have too much of it or too little of it.
Right. Yeah. We have no idea the experiences that son of Elon Musk or daughter of Elon Musk is going through. You might, from the outside looking in, think it's the coolest thing in the world, but it might be the worst thing in the world too. So
Exactly.
many
Many such
such
cases.
cases. Steve Jobs, go on and on. These are tough child, you know, parent relationships from some of the most brilliant and wealthiest people who've ever lived.
Right.
And the grass is, you know, in our minds always greener. Not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think I want to be Michael Jordan's son.
Tough.
Stop.
Tough. You hear LeBron, say, you know, no, it was Shaq. I'm sorry.
Who's
Yeah, it
back?
was Shaq who was like, this is my money. Yeah, I
We
was
ain't rich. I'm
like,
rich.
whoa.
I'm
Yeah, I think
rich.
that's what
You're
he
not. He
said.
says, I'm rich. You're not rich.
Oh, Shaq's hilarious.
Yeah.
He
It
is.
is, it's not obvious what is of value to me. It might be money, it might be time freedom, it might be my ability to whatever. So why would it be obvious that two people coming together value the same things?
It's
They don't.
crazy to think
Right.
that. Yeah, we fool ourselves into thinking that you turn into this very homogeneous substance. Nope, it is very much oil and water at times,
We don't
and
want to turn into a homogeneous
correct.
substance. I think that's the point,
Yeah.
right? That's it. That should not be what we aspire for, to have merged together to the point that we've
Lost your
lost your
identity.
identity in your partner, and you only have the combined identity of the two of you, because I
Yeah,
don't
that goes
think
the other way.
that's not real. That's not realistic. That's not sustainable over the
It's
long
not
term. It's
human.
not human. So, you know, yeah, that was an important, that's an important part of this whole thing too. And that's, I think, a lot of the reasons why we wrote the section on power and about power dynamic shifting and about the things that hold power over us as individuals and together. And people can view this as you don't need to take from your partner to get for you in the sense of in the sense of your confidence, in the
Yeah,
sense of.
this shows up in silly things, not just money. Like, oh, you had a girls' night last night? I'm going out with the boys tomorrow, you know? And you scale that up to money or any other part of your life, and you're playing a game that is not going to serve your relationship very well at all.
No, keeping score like that,
Yeah.
probably not that I've ever done it, Douglas and Heather. I've never done that, but I
Oh, we
hear from
all
other
know
you're
you. You
guilty
seem
of
like a
it.
man of immense integrity.
Yeah, I'm self-actualized and
Yes.
pretty close to enlightenment at this point.
Fully
So,
and fully evolved. Yeah.
super close, like really close.
Like really, really close.
So, former corporate attorney, CFP, is this work that you were doing prior? How did you come to realize the value of the work?
Well, oh man.
How much time we
Yeah,
got?
how much time you got? I'll try and keep it short. I went to law school because I wanted to use my words to help change people's lives. Then I graduated during the Great Recession and I became an insurance attorney instead. Because this is the shortest version of the process.
Good.
I needed a job and I had $200,000 in student loan debt and we
Pretty
lived in
good.
New York City. And that's how I got into corporate insurance. And I spent 13 years,
That's awesome.
in it's the best way I can possibly light. I mean, since I've
It's good.
synthesized
I've heard
that.
a thousand versions. That's the best.
No, and but truthfully, I learned a lot about risk along the way, and I became our family's hedge. I held down the stable corporate job with the corporate benefits that were very helpful to our family for Doug to take the risk of starting his own firm and growing without the worry, the existential worry that our whole life would be in jeopardy every day, with him, whether he got a client or not. And I provided that hedge to our family for a long time, but the entire time I was helping him build this firm. I was moonlighting as his
She was
business
there. We've been
consultant.
together a long time.
Was
She's
there
been
for
here every
branding.
day.
Pretty sure that I named the firm Bonafide Wealth
That
and
was
we
her.
created the logo
Yep.
together.
Logo's me. Name her
So,
for the record.
I was already doing this for a very long time. I was just also holding down a day job and we had our two kids in the meantime.
Arguably three full-time jobs here.
We got to a certain point where it felt like two things were true. One, I was spread way too thin. Two, we were leaving opportunities on the table at the firm because there was no one there to take advantage of them because he was at reaching capacity. And also, this is my skill set, like negotiating and writing and content and bringing our thought leadership to broader audiences. This is my skill set. So there was a moment where the universe told us that it was time, and by the universe, I mean my corporate return to office
The office
policy, where they said, "Surprise,
coming back.
work from home, you lovely work from homers who have been home for 3.5 years. We would like you back 4 days a week in 2 weeks." And
Which was more aggressive than even pre-COVID, mind
that
you.
was
They
me
were
not
all saying they
ongoing
were like
pre-COVID.
three in, two home, do that. That was normal. They're like, nah, forget that.
No, and you know what? I'm not going to disparage them because they treated me incredibly kindly during COVID, and it's fine. But I will say this: it felt like the universe was telling us if there was ever a time for us to give this a shot, it was then. And I basically told him to,
Yeah, we had some real
blank or get off the pot in terms of our risk tolerance, and that it was time, and that we should start optimizing our money and our time and resources
Yeah, we
going
got to
into
figure
the
that
firm.
part out. 100%. It's great. That's awesome.
That's how I
Well
ended up.
done.
Super, something we've always wanted. It's interesting. Something we've always wanted to do, right? I wanted nothing more than to have the team play that we do here. Heather said it perfectly. Like her ability to help us capitalize on the value that was being left on the table, using her legal skills to keep us safe from a regulatory and compliance point of view. I mean, there was almost, nothing we couldn't plug into and get value from. And ironically, like when the day came, I knew just how on, the amount of discomfort that, landed on my shoulders was,
To drop a corporate
And I
salary
don't just mean
and
I don't just
benefits.
mean the financial discomfort, right? This is what I do for a living. I can figure that part out, and what kind of margins of safety we need, and if this happens, what's this mean, and all those kind of tolerances and what have you. I meant from the comfort, and I'll be very vulnerable here, the comfort that Heather was providing me for many, many years by holding down the stable job and providing the benefits and, everything in between that she described.
He really enjoyed that,
What's
to be
not, I
fair.
mean, let's be very real. What would be not, what would you not enjoy out of that, where I get to grow my firm, do all this cool stuff, knowing everything else is taken care of, and there's, a salary and financial benefits coming and coming in the door? What a dreamboat kind of thing. But the reality was of how much the scales have tilted, in favor of me and out of favor of her. And I don't know if you've met Heather before, but she isn't a, she is an ambitious woman. She is not one that's just going to plateau in the field of, insurance law and say, this is great. So the level of discomfort and change that would need to take place to make that room and make that space was extremely daunting and took a lot of time, and that work I was talking about just a few minutes ago is what got us ultimately to where we are today, which is, hey, it was well worth the discomfort. And I want to kind of just tie this to the book where we are inherently asking couples to get uncomfortable with each other, but we want to show you how to get there in the best way possible. We want to give you those little on-ramps that get you into the conversations that you never thought you would be having, but you need to have in order to get to the next phase of your relationship or get better with understanding how money is this tool that will get you to the goals that you have for each other and as a household, for your children and all of those things. So Heather will tell you, it starts, a lot of the stories you read about in the book, we go first. That's why we go. I want you to know the discomfort I experience so you feel brave enough to experience some yourself, because I can now share with you that the result of that discomfort is getting comfortable again with things that you thought were horribly, horribly uncomfortable. And that's growth. That is what I'm describing there is
Scrub.
literal growth, and you're going to need it.
Well, I think it's so important. I think it's of value and extremely important for everybody to be vulnerable, but particularly when we're talking about finances and money, for a professional advisor to say, hey, listen, I go through the same stuff, all the stuff I've talked about. I've probably lived it. I've probably made so many of these dumb decisions as I know I have. And so I think that that's essential to make it so you can actually approach the work, which is exactly what you said. So I appreciate you guys doing that. Great job. Great job, you two.
Try. We try. We're a work in progress like everyone
We're
else.
getting there.
It's all a work in progress. Building the airplane in mid-flight. Anyway, metaphors, analogies, you get it.
Oh no.
Well, you guys have already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us, Heather and Doug?
Ladies first.
Oh yeah. Horses and ladies first. I think time is our greatest currency. And that when we view time as we give time the value that it deserves in your life and in your partner's life, you're going to reach better outcomes, not only for yourself and for a life that's meaningful, but you're going to give your partner the space and room that they need for them to have the same thing.
Beautiful.
Whether it's your investment portfolio, your physical or mental health, or the relationship you have with the person you love most in this world, building a practice of consistency and discipline is how you compound any return. Try and approach things with the mentality of a long game, build a practice around it, be consistent, be disciplined, and you will continue to grow. You will quietly compound your way to the results that you want. And that's hard. If it was easy, the expression, everyone would be doing it.
Two for one. Those are excellent. That definitely gets a come on. Heather, Douglas, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for putting pen to paper and writing money together. Where can people learn more? How can they engage with you if they want to talk to you about having your firm manage their finances? And where can they get their copy of the book?
There we go. I'll go. If you're interested in learning more about the book, you can visit the book's web page at domoneytogether.com. We also write a weekly newsletter on love and money called The Joint Account, and check out readthejointaccount.com. So you'll love the book, you'll love the newsletter about the firm, bonafidewealth.com. And social handles. She's at Average Joelle. That's her middle name, Joelle. And I'm at Doug Bonaparte everywhere. Or you can just Google or prompt your favorite chat bot your way
You can
into
find us
anything.
anywhere. We're
Not a hard find.
habitually online. You'll find us.
But you should buy 100 copies individually.
And
Oh,
leave you for everyone.
yeah, every single one. That's very helpful. Very helpful.
I think that that's the only appropriate and logical way forward is for everybody who's listening to go right now and buy 100 copies and leave 100 reviews. Also, pick up your copy. So pick up your copy of Money Together. You can go to domoneytogether.com to get that. Check out the problem with having bad handwriting. There's actually lots, but one of them is you can't read it. So read thejointaccount.com for Heather and Douglas's weekly musings. Go to bonafidewealth.com. And follow them on social media. I will link all of those in the notes of the show because it was a lot. But fundamentally, pick up your copy of Money Together and dive into this work, because as Heather and Douglas have done such a wonderful job of laying it out, we need to be intentional about this stuff because it's not going to happen on its own.
Love it.
Thanks again, Heather and Doug.
Thanks, George,
for having us.
And finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.